Well, good morning, everyone. We're glad that you're with us today, and we're very thankful for your presence here. We're going to be looking at our theme for the year, Christ the King. And so we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10 this morning. So I invite you to open your Bibles there to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10 as we study the treasure of the King. Now remember, Jesus Christ is King. Psalm 95 and verse 3 says, "For the Lord," and remember last Sunday morning, Brother Andy explained to us what this word "Lord" in all capitals meant. This is the name of God, Yahweh. "The Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." And as we come to the New Testament, we find that Christ is King. And so He is the Lord, the great God. And Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Whose kingdom is it? It's the kingdom that belongs to the Son of His love. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' kingdom into which we have been conveyed today. And as we think about Colossians, we see Christ the King revealed to us in this book. And here in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10, we see the treasure of the King. And so let's read these verses together as we think about the King's treasure this morning. "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the fullness of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now let's just stop there. In whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The King's treasure is what we're talking about this morning. And we see, first of all, that that treasure is wisdom and knowledge. Now, we just read these verses from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, but look at the emphasis upon riches, understanding, knowledge, treasure, wisdom, knowledge. The Apostle Paul is telling us something about the value that we have in Christ Jesus, and specifically about the value of the wisdom and knowledge that we have in Christ Jesus. It is a treasure. It is riches. And there is something there that we cannot find anywhere else. Maybe you remember the Yellow Pages. And not too long ago, we received one here at the church building. They're not nearly as big as they used to be. I can remember growing up as a kid and getting these huge books. You know, they were huge. And then they were so thick. And then sometimes they would be so big that, you know, the Yellow Pages were separated from the White Pages. And when I looked at those Yellow Pages, you know, one day I was got old enough to where I started to learn how to use a telephone. And I know that that probably doesn't make any sense anymore. Our kids learn how to use telephones from the time they're very little now. But I was learning how to use the telephone and learning how to look up phone numbers in the phone book. And I was looking in the Yellow Pages. And my mom said, "Stop, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for a phone number in the Yellow Pages." "You can't find personal phone numbers in the Yellow Pages. They can only be found in the White Pages." There was a separation between the White Pages and the Yellow Pages. The Yellow Pages were for businesses. The White Pages were for personal phone numbers. And I was looking in the wrong section. When we think about all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ, if we try to look outside of Christ as if we're looking in the Yellow Pages for what can only be found in the White Pages, we're not going to find it. Because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, and there's nothing outside of Christ that we're going to be able to find of wisdom and knowledge. Think about 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 1 and 2 here. Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul didn't come with earthly wisdom. Why? Because there is no earthly wisdom. All the wisdom that we need to have is in Christ Jesus. All the knowledge that we need is in Christ Jesus. And so he says, "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or the wisdom of this world, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." And what is that wisdom? It's the wisdom of Jesus Christ. But it can only be found in Christ. You see, God's wisdom is revealed in Christ Jesus. Paul said, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And so the treasure of the King is wisdom and knowledge. And it can only be found in Christ. God's knowledge is revealed in Christ Jesus. It's like looking at the sun. Have you ever tried? Now, it's interesting. Tomorrow, you know, there's going to be this solar eclipse that everybody's talking about. And they say, you know, don't look at it directly. Use some of them solar eclipse glasses to look at it. So we got some. But if you try to look at the sun directly, you can't see it. Just try it. Well, you shouldn't try it. If you try it, it's going to hurt your eyes. So don't try it. But let's just say, you know, you're driving and you happen to be driving in the direction of the sun, or you happen to be looking in the direction, and your eyes, you know, they start to water. And you can't keep your eyes open. If you happen to be looking at the sun, you can't do it. But look at this picture that's on the screen there. That's a picture of the sun. You know, I saw a guy with a telescope looking at the sun, and they said, "Well, what would happen if you took the filter off the telescope and just looked at the sun without the filter?" And he said, "Oh, I wouldn't do that." He said, "Let me show you why." He took the filter off, and then he stuck a piece of wood underneath the eye lens of the telescope. About 2 seconds, it started burning a hole in that wood. That's how intense that sunlight is without a filter. So to get this picture of the sun, you've got to have a filter on your telescope. Now look at this verse, John 1:18. "No one has seen God at any time." And why is that? Because if God were to reveal Himself in His complete glory to us right now, we would be burned up. That's what happened to Moses. You may remember when God was giving him the law on Mount Sinai, and he went up on the mountain and he said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "No, Moses. No, Moses. And he covered him up, right? He covered him up with his hand and he showed him his back, but he couldn't show him his full glory because he would be burned up. And when Moses came down from the mountain, you remember how it described him? He was glowing. In fact, he had to put a veil over his face. Now that's just from looking at God's back. What would it be like to look at his front? Well, we couldn't handle it. But guess what? We have a filter so that we can look at God and we can see God. And who is that? It's Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so all wisdom and knowledge of God is found in Jesus Christ. John 14, verses 9 through 11, Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you so long, and yet have you not known me, Philip?" And Philip's question was, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." And this was Jesus' answer, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." To see Jesus is to see God. It's to know the full wisdom of God, to know the full knowledge of God. And God has given us through Jesus Christ everything that we need to live in this life. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. That's Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ Jesus. James 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." The wisdom that is from above is found in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we get that wisdom into our lives? We need to pray, James 1 tells us, and we need to study our Bibles, because God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. But as we think about the treasure of the king, the treasure of the king is wisdom and knowledge, but the treasure of the king is also Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians 2, verses 5 through 7. In your Bibles, Colossians 2, here's what it says. "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." The king's treasure is wisdom and knowledge. The king's treasure is the king himself, Jesus Christ. Back in 1996, Mary Lynn and I got in the car and we drove to the hospital in Louisville, Texas, because it was time for Austin to be born. And we had a good doctor, Dr. Gupta. He was a good guy. And we had a good hospital. There was good staff there. And Mary Lynn tried to give birth naturally, but then, no, that didn't quite work out. And so we had to have an emergency C-section. And they decided that she wasn't going to be able to give birth, and so they wheeled her into that operating room real quick. Dr. Gupta got his scalpel out, and he went to work. And before we knew it, Austin was born. Now, I valued Dr. Gupta and his medical knowledge, and I valued that hospital, and I valued the nurses and the technicians that were there. But you know what? I didn't take them home with me. I took Austin home because that was the treasure. The treasure wasn't the hospital and the doctor and the staff and all. For me, the treasure was Austin. And you see, that's what God is trying to tell us about Jesus Christ. He's the treasure. It's not all the stuff in the world that we think about on a daily basis that, you know, we look at that and we think, well, that's valuable, and yeah, I need that, and I need that. But what's the true treasure? What's it all about? What are we all working toward? Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the treasure. The angel said to those shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the treasure. In Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9, God said about Jesus, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. To open blind eyes, to break out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house." Jesus is the treasure. You know, Jesus was called the friend of sinners. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. He was one who fulfilled all righteousness. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. He did not break those bruised reeds of people who were suffering and who needed help. He didn't quench them. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He released the captives. Jesus is the treasure. He healed the sick. He stilled the storms. He walked on the water. He cast out demons, and he raised the dead. He is the treasure, and he can give your life value and purpose and meaning today. And Jesus, God's treasure, gave his life a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. And Paul says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." The treasure of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Peter tells us, in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 24, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus is the treasure. And he has been raised from the dead. And he sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father. The angel said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Paul said, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ, Jesus Christ, the treasure, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was also seen by me, as by one born out of due time. He was raised from the dead so that he could sit at the right hand of the throne of God." And we, as Christians, have the greatest relationship that we can ever have with anyone: Jesus Christ. He is the treasure. And then finally, the king's treasure is nothing that this world has to offer. Look at Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." I got a letter in the mail not too long ago from the IRS, and that's always thrilling. It's not thrilling. It's scary. When you get that letter from the IRS, what have I done now? I've gotten several. Most of the time, they're pretty innocuous. A couple of times, they were telling me, "You got to pay." I pay. Every single time I pay. And I have stayed out of trouble with them so far. But this particular letter from the IRS that I got a couple of weeks ago, in fact, very recently, said, "You have filed your taxes electronically with the IRS. If you did not file your taxes electronically with the IRS, we need to know about it." I was like, "What?" See, I hadn't filed any taxes yet. I have a tax accountant who files my taxes for me, and I hadn't done that yet. And I was like, "Well, someone is trying to steal my identity in order to get money out of the government." Now, I have no idea what they filed or how they filed or why they filed. Well, they filed electronically, they said. And now I can't file electronically anymore because they already filed electronically in my name. And so I've got to file the old-fashioned way by sending paper through the post office. But somebody stole my identity and filed my taxes for me so that they could get the money. They were trying to cheat me and cheat the government of the United States with something that is false. And you see, that's what the warning is here in Colossians chapter 2. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Not out of money, not out of time, not out of resources, but out of your faith, out of your thinking, out of your beliefs. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, the basic principles of the world. You see, because we can be cheated. We can be cheated out of our joy, out of our contentment, out of our relationships, out of our peace, out of our love, out of our salvation even. We can be cheated by false teaching and false doctrine that is not in Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Now that is a strong statement. But what's at stake? Your salvation, my salvation. All of those things are at stake. Paul doesn't want us to be cheated. God doesn't want us to be cheated. And that's why he gives us these warnings. What's the solution? It's Jesus Christ. In Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And notice what Paul says. You are complete in him. What does that mean? It means I don't need anything outside of Jesus Christ. I got everything I need in him. I don't need to go to the philosophies of men. I don't need to go to the traditions of men. I don't need to go to the way the world does business. Everything that I need to have joy and contentment, relationships, peace, love, and salvation is in Christ Jesus. God said this in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, there were some people in the church at Colossae who were thinking, you know, there might be some things that we're missing here. There might be some wisdom or some knowledge that's outside of Christ that maybe we don't know. No, folks. God knows everything. His ways are higher than our ways. His wisdom is higher than our wisdom. And he has given us everything that we need in Christ Jesus. We don't need to go anywhere else other than Jesus Christ. And you know where we can find that teaching about Jesus Christ? Right here in his holy word. That's it. That's all we need. So don't love the world or the things of the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you want to abide forever? You can, through Jesus Christ. And in Christ Jesus, we have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ Jesus, we have Jesus Christ himself, who is the treasure. And nothing this world has to offer can help us in any way outside of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 8, "Yet indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage, that I may gain Christ." Remember, everything in this world one day It's all going to be burned up, and it's going to come to nothing. And then, what will we have? If we don't have Jesus Christ, we will have nothing. What do you need to do to have the King's treasure? Hear His word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And you'll have everything that you need to have a great life and eternal life. Oh, that we would own Christ the King in our lives. If anyone is subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, come forward right now while together we stand and while we sing.